What up, what up, what up, what up?
Yo, man. Yo.
Just in case I didn't get it before we counted us in. Welcome in to another episode of the Rich Dream Show with your host, G. Got a very special episode today. We love any time that we can have a guest. Y'all know us, we do the Black Business shout out every week. So when we had his guest, it's just like an extended
Yep.
We got the owner, creator, of Jazz Me Up One Time. So shout out to Jazz for coming rocking with us. It's going to be a great episode. Make sure you're tuning in. Catch us every Friday at 7 p.m. on the Now Legacy Network Facebook page. Shout out to him, man. See what we got going this week.
Man, so like you just said, man, we got the we got our guests on. Also this Saturday, this is the pop-up event that we'll be doing in Atlanta. I'll post it on the IG or whatever in the story, the location and all of that. But you're in the Atlanta area, you check out the podcast, or you just follow our page, come through, holler at us, you know, buy something, vibe with us. You know, all that good stuff, man. But we're gonna be out. We're gonna be out that night too. So, you know, let us know where the, you know, where the high spots at in the A. I never been to the A. So
hey. Yeah. Yes, sir. As always, you can catch us. We're gonna cut that out. It's the Rich Dream Show.
There you go.
You are now tuned in to the Rich Dream Show.
Boo, boo, boo. Yes, sir. One time for your mind. Mm-hmm. Welcome in once again. This is the Rich Dream Show. I am your co-host, Smoke Dog, alongside with my man, my player partner, Young G.
Yes, sir.
With you. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Want to give a shout out to the Now Legacy Network, putting us on every Friday. Make sure you catch the live stream on their Facebook page. Of course, please make sure that you're following the brand. Make sure you're tapping in. Catch us on IG at Rich Dreams with 2 Z's _ apparel. Of course, you can catch clips of the pod at the Rich Dream Show. All one word, Rich Dream Show pod. And make sure you're keeping up with the pod, man. Make sure you hitting up Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you find your podcast at. Make sure you're searching us up. Gee, what's the word, man? How you feeling?
Man, ain't nothing, man. Just cooling. Shoot, just shot down to Louisiana this weekend. Check up on some stuff, you know.
Impromptu chip.
Oh, yeah, man. Just checking up on some stuff, man. But nothing much, though. Looking forward to this. You know, this upcoming pop-up in Atlanta, like, I was just saying, this is my first time in the A, so yes, definitely after the pop-up, I definitely want to get out and do a little something, maybe find a, you know, chill, little restaurant, some bar, you know, not go too hard. I ain't going to go too hard, you know what I'm saying? I definitely want to do a little something while I'm out there, though, for sure, man. What about you? Okay. What you got going?
Man, a little low-key weekend myself. Was out in Dallas this weekend, putting in a little work at the stew. Give a little quick shout out to every other weekend. Give a little quick shout out to Stack and Save Studios. He's out there putting in a little work this weekend. Any artists, producers, photographers. We actually are looking for a tattoo artist as well. We actually have a space open if any tattoos artist might be interested and you want to book your own space, have you a little suite, get us. I just feel like I've been running and gunning, but it's been beautiful. Like I've really been able to get out and enjoy the summer with just different events and everything we've been having going on with the Cash Bash. Of course, just with my regular debauchery when I be out on the road. And now we got the pop coming up, so I'm excited for that too, man. We gonna turn up hot. Remember everybody, that's this weekend. That's Saturday, August 19th.
From 3 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah, sir.
The address I will post on the IG, that's richdreams_apparel. I'll post it in the story, probably on the page as well. But yeah, I'll post the address, but it's 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Come through and fool with us.
Okay. And you probably just saw him a few moments ago. Make sure you're paying attention to the QR codes during the show. You scan those, take you directly to the Etsy site. If you got your Etsy app, it's or if you're online, just go to Etsy.com/richdreams. That way you can get you all the merch, man. Keep up to date with what we be dropping.
Yes, sir. Got more hats coming soon, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Are these gonna be it's gonna be truckers, or what are we looking at?
Like a baseball style, baseball cap style hat, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, baseball season in full effect, so man, today, you know, it's always special when we have a guest. And this is actually very special because this guest is somebody I know very personally. Close friend, went to high school together. And it's always cool when you can see people that you know from a younger age, just see how they grow and they change, and just start doing them, living their rich dream. So without further ado, I'm going to bring out today's guest. She is the owner, operator, CEO of Jazz Me Up One Time, Lash Bar, Miss Jasmine O'Neill.
What up, Jazz?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
I'm willing to give us some applause. What up, Jazz? Appreciate you coming through.
Yeah.
Welcome to Dreamland.
It's good living a rich dream, ain't it?
Better tell him.
Yeah, man. So appreciate you for coming out. How long have you been doing your business? You have.
It's been since 2016. It started at before I graduated from University of Houston. I was just doing like lashes for girls, like before we go out to like the Sigma parties, the Kappa parties, the Q parties, you know.
That's specific right there, huh? Okay.
Yeah, I know about that. I was a dorm room barber, you know. I know about all this, man.
It was a whole event before getting ready for a kickback. Like, it was, you had the pregame. You have to get your mind right because you know you're going to be out of the
game. What does getting your mind right entail? What's that? She said, hey.
Okay.
Hey, we got a mom now. Don't try to.
I know. Why are you trying to bring
that? My bad. That's my fault.
Yeah, but it started there, and then I actually was interning for a PR firm out in Dallas, in Houston. Okay. And the CEO, I'm not gonna call her out, but the CEO, she promised me the job, and you know, she said I did really great work. And so I literally, all the engagements that I had prior to graduating, I cut off because I was like, I got this job, I'm gonna be making some good money, I'm gonna be downtown. Like, I came after graduation, I hit her up and was like, hey, so when do you want me to come to the office to start? Nothing. It was cold. It was cold. So just graduated. No job.
So wait. To this day, they never hit you back?
She never hit me back. No. Damn. To this day. She's still.
Unprofessional as hell. Damn. They couldn't even put you with
that. She might hit you up tomorrow and offer you the job. You know that.
You know, I don't want it. Because my work. today's price is not yesterday's price. Okay. I ended up was trying to be quick on my feet. Like, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? So I picked up hair braiding and I picked up lashing. Hair braiding was out the window. You're not finna have me stand up for 6-7 hours doing it all day. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. But I really had a passion for lashing. So I got into it. I stepped into that zone and I fell in love with the work. I fell in love with the community of women that come through and get their lashes done. It's just enhancement of beauty whenever you think about it. So it's not altering beauty. It's not like makeup or anything. It's really just bringing out what women naturally already have. And it makes them feel good. You know, y'all know when y'all get the edge up and you look like a whole new part. It's that for us. And so to empower women in that way, it keeps me going.
Okay. I got a question about lashes.
Go ahead.
I got a question.
I got to hear this. I never thought I'd hear that word in a sentence.
No. Cause it's something that I always mess with. Like, you know, I always mess with women about that get lashes. Like I've always. So do women get the lashes for men or do they get it for other women to?
They get it for themselves.
No. But I'm just saying though. But what makes a woman want? What makes a woman want lashes though?
Again, it's the enhancement of what they already have. It's not that they're needing to do it to appease someone else. Right. It's or for other women to look. I think it's more of, you know, being able, like, it's just like putting lip gloss on.
Okay.
You already got the lips. You just need something to make it pop. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Like,
yeah.
So it's the same with lashes. And the beauty about it is strips. You get the sweating, all that, they're going to be flying right off and then you looking a mess. So...
Man, I always see my opinion. I think it's to impress other women. You know what I'm saying? Which is it's cool. You know, it's cool wherever your reason is. But that's just my opinion because, you know, when have you ever heard a dude say, "Ooh,
all I'm gonna say
you is got on you, girl. God damn, we have a few anomalies here and there. But you know how I mean? It's a lot of women that like to, you know, be in competition. It just—it's like friendly competition, though. Friendly, you know.
So,
yeah, okay. I see the angle you're going.
I see
what you're trying to fish out.
So you say they enhancements,
right?
So when I think enhancement, though, it is kind of confusing to say it's not for men because when I think enhancements, I think like the push-up bra. It enhances what you already got. But usually that's something that's done to aesthetically please to the opposite sex.
I'm telling you with the lashes, bro, it ain't for me, bro. It's not.
And if that's the case, if they're not for competition, why do they come in different sizes? Why do some have like the big, super big, like
butterfly?
That's a preference. Now that's a preference.
Oh, okay.
ain't
no girl gonna be like, yeah, I got the big, I got the
extra. I got the extra large.
I can't even hold these up.
I can barely even open our eyes, them hoes so big, man.
Oh my gosh. I truly feel like, you know, we know that you guys like that. We know that y'all like, plus, I mean, it's easy for us too whenever we have on our lashes because, I mean, I got a full face on right now, but sometimes it's really just lip gloss and go. I don't have to do much to add because I already have it on.
Okay.
Right.
So, I mean, and plus other women see and it'd be like, hey, who do your lashes? Like,
that's
them are cute.
For, bro,
so it's a conversational piece between women too, like, you know, oh, I like how she did those, and let's be friends, you know. Now you done got a new lash friend, y'all going to get y'all lashes done together.
So it can kind of be like a fashion thing too.
It is definitely a fashion thing.
Yeah,
because yeah. Guys will do that too. You know, you see somebody with some clean shoes on,
or a hat, yeah.
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 So that's solid. All right.
Yeah.
So. I know you went to school and everything, I was reading your email, or excuse me, your interview with the Dallas Voyage. And just to let y'all know, don't do drugs when you're booking guests, because I don't know why I thought you said you was in Dallas Vogue. But don't mind me.
Don't do what?
No, it's Dallas Vogue. Yes.
Oh, it is Dallas Vogue.
Yes, I was in Dallas Vogue.
Okay, because when I clicked the link, it was like the Voyage, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm tripping.
No, it's Vogue.
Okay, well, that's what I'm talking about then.
Same message applies, kids. Don't do drugs.
Sometimes you
might. I ain't trying to be on no Dallas Voyage, okay? Whatever that is, I don't want to be on that.
But no, you said, of course, you said you graduated from U of H, your bachelor's. You studied communications. Of course, you know, you told us about how the first corporate gig that you was trying to get didn't really work out. Was it right then that it just kind of clicked, or did you know before then that lashes was kind of what you wanted to do? Or
it was something in me that I always just wanted to be my own boss. I've been in corporate for a very long time, even throughout school. I was doing property management, putting myself through school. So just knowing the corporate world and seeing like how that system is, and knowing that regardless of how high you reach, you're never going to reach the top, because it's always going to be somebody managing and manipulating your plays. So when I stepped back and was like, is this something that I really want? Like, do I always want to answer to somebody? And when I really, and you know that, well, y'all don't know, but my dad, he is a barber. He's been a barber in the Dallas community for over 25 years. So
what's his name?
Yeah.
The dancing king.
What's his name?
His name is O'Neal.
O'Neal?
Uh-huh. His shop is so I'm in a suite in his shop.
Okay.
And so he is off of the Royal Lane and Adelia area in North Dallas. He's been a staple in the community. We just actually had a back to school drive at the shop this past weekend, serving all the families who needed school supplies and stuff like that. So awesome. He really just, you know, showed me that you don't have to clock in if you don't want to clock in. You know, if you want to, then this could also be a trade. It's never a loss. And I don't see it as a loss if I ever was to stop, because it's something that I can always go back to time and time again. So just seeing that from him and seeing how he's able to still have pleasure in play. Did I say that right? Business in play. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Business and play.
Pleasure and play, man. What's she thinking about? Close that kid ears over there, man.
Yeah, so just seeing that he was able to, you know, be his own boss, it motivated me. Right. And it's very important to have those mentors like that, where you can go to and ask those questions, being an entrepreneur. Because you don't know if it's going to be successful or not. But you don't know until you just step out there, and you got to be all in.
That's the thing. Like, you never going to know. You never going to know. I remember when I was in barber school, my instructor that was on nights with us. We had two. One was on nights with us, one was in the days. The one on nights, he would always say, man, this is a faith-based business. You got to have faith. You got to have faith, because, you know, we go into our week every day. You know, we making money every day, but every day is not the same. We don't make the same amount of money every day. We don't, you know, some days we may get off a little early. Some days we may get off a little late. You know, some weeks are, you know, you might get paid X amount. Some weeks you may get paid less. So, everybody don't have that in them to have a career like that. So, man, I get anytime, I'm a barber myself, but anytime I see somebody that's doing anything entrepreneur wise, man, I know what come with it. I know what come with it. So I always salute, you know, my people that's out here trying to make a way they self and just putting it all on them, betting on them, you know?
Yeah.
So that's big time of you, man. Like, for real. We proud of you for sure, man. I don't really know you, but just, you know, just hearing a little bit of your story, I'm proud of you, for real. Taking
the step. Thank
you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Big time. Same here.
Thank you.
So you mentioned your dad and him having his own shop. Was he one of, like, your major influences of going the entrepreneurial route and wanting to start your own business? Or who was really somebody that you saw and was like, wow, that's an inspiration. I really feel like I can do that too.
You know, my dad played a major part because he was the staple of our household. But I also got to credit my uncle as well. Uncle Felix, he played just a major part of my mindset of being an entrepreneur, because it's not just about the action. It's also about the mindset, too. You have to go in knowing that, you know, you're going to have some losses, and you have to have some type of tenacity and resilience to be able to accept those losses. Because here's the thing. Everybody got a dream and an aspiration to do something, right? I know people's dream is, all right, finna go clock in at McDonald's today. Like, that's not people's goal. So whenever they hit that hard stop, that hard rock, they done. Yeah. They quit. It's too hard. It's too much. I can't do it. My uncle was that motivator for me. He was the person to say, you know what you're getting into, right? Like, I want you to thoroughly think about this process. Let's sit down. Let's create a budget. Let's create some finances. Let's see what we're going to be investing into to be able to make this thing work. Man, it got so crazy where, you know, I was working and I was lashing, and one was starting to overpower the other. And it got to a point where I had to step back and be like, okay, now we need to make
time.
A decision.
It's time.
Yeah.
Yep. I need to make a decision.
It's time.
So it is a blessing to also have somebody who is financially literate to help you and push you to where you need to be as far as being an entrepreneur too. Because a lot of people don't have that. They're really starting from the mud. Like, they getting it from the mud with no type of mentorship, no type of guidance. So for me to have my uncle in my corner and my dad, you know, in my back pocket. It was a blessing, and I can only thank God for being able to give me those influential people who knew.
That's awesome. Shout out to Uncle Felix, man. He's like, knowing him, I never even really knew what he did, but just it always seemed like he was that type of person that had that tenacity and that creativity. Just like, even if he was working corporate, he was going to make it like his own thing. He just seemed like he had that energy of like, look, I'm going to take whatever I'm doing, I'm going to play by my own rules, and I'm going to make stuff happen.
So, right.
You know, that type of energy, and then just his positivity, I know that made a major.
Yeah, he can light up any room. So, I mean, just knowing that he came, he had positive intent.
Yeah.
For me, really, really just pushed me in my business. And I thank him, you know, every day. And still to this day, like, I still thank him, you know, because he didn't have to give me the gems that he did. He didn't have to do that.
Nah, he had to. We got to normalize, at least for us, man. We were just talking about this, right? Like, last episode or two episodes ago, man, we got to normalize giving that game. You should be obligated to get that game to somebody. Asking for anything from them, you know. Again, back to, you know, you said uncle was one of your main forces that kind of inspired you to get into this. See, what your uncle was showing you, and I don't know, but I guarantee you what he was showing you is like, man, this shit ain't going to happen overnight. Right. This ain't gonna happen overnight. It's all, like you say, you're gonna take losses. That's any big business. You go to Burger King, you go to McDonald's, Walmart, they take losses too. You know, we just don't see it, you know, as the worker, because our paycheck for, but they, too. So it's the same.
When they come out with products that don't really hit like they supposed
really
to hit.
People away. Stealing. You know, especially stealing. See, you know, but I think it's very important to have that mindset of, okay, when you're doing something in the entrepreneurship world or whatever, you're most likely gonna have to take the stairs. It's not gonna be, you know, it's not gonna be a thing where the next week you just making the amount of money that you wanted to make if you've been always wanting. Yeah, it's a building process. So yeah, it's good that you got to see that. And now we see, you know, we see I can tell that you come from under somebody that was able to show you that, and you know, it helped you to thrive, man, because you get relentless when you learn.
Gatekeeping is a real thing in our community for some reason, or even in just the entrepreneurial business in general. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, whenever I first got certified to do lashes, I started hitting up some big names. I mean, I don't know if I was getting ahead of myself, but I started hitting them up. I literally was offering to pay them to watch them do lashes because I wanted to get those techniques. I wanted to, and I don't know, maybe it's me. They're not replying back. They just...
Man, you know, people be on that high horse sometimes.
Yeah.
Man, if a motherfucker asked me to come to pay me to come watch me cut.
Right.
Come on. Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, come on.
Even it was simple questions that I was asking, like, you know, I wasn't getting the direct answers that I needed. I started to just YouTube stuff, just TikTok. Well, TikTok went out then, but just YouTube stuff. Go on Google search, see how people were doing it. Because whenever you go to, so it's a cosmetology license, but it's a specialty in lash extensions. So most of it, when you're dealing with TDLR, is textbook. We're doing sanitation. We're doing proper equipment handling. We're doing how to keep you safe and how to keep your clients safe as well when it comes to hazardous.
I never really thought about this, but it makes sense that that's a specialized position because you're dealing right close to somebody's eyes.
And I know y'all see those videos of girls who lashes is glued shut, or they have these worms or like these germs that are right there caked up on the bottom of the lashes.
Producer, pull a pic of that up.
I don't think I've seen that either.
I have to go back and look at the name of what it is, but it's some type of bacteria that gets caked up on the lash line and can create irritateness, like irritatedness, like red eye, pink eye, like stuff like that. Wow. But a lot of these girls that are doing lashes are just getting certified. They're not getting licensed. So they're going under other people who are lash techs, and they are getting a certification, which certifications, yeah, there we go. Not bad lashes.
Wow. Oh,
yes.
So yeah, I've seen girls look like this, but it wasn't because of their lashes.
I don't know if y'all able to search up like lash line. I don't know, like bacteria or something.
Okay,
but
yeah,
look like girls that's been gagging or something.
Now, so this is equivalent to what you're talking about. What they're doing is this is equivalent to maybe barbers doing apprenticeship. It's cutting.
Yes, like it's like as if you're cutting and you're using a type of, is it called a shear or whatever? Okay. And you
that's right there. Jeez.
Where is it?
Right there.
Yeah, there it goes. Right there. Right there.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and this is all done by materials that people are not sanitizing. They are not thoroughly washing their lashes. These extensions, the adhesive to the lashes is as strong as Gorilla Glue. Okay. So whenever we're handling our clients, we have to, there are certain things like taping under the eye, priming the lashes, doing a lash bath. Those things are important. Removing all makeup from the face, removing the contacts. Those things are very important and intuitive to making sure that the eye health is okay, because one wrong thing and you have messed up a person's vision, either permanently or temporarily. And to get a lawsuit for that, yeah, it's not okay. Protect your business, get your insurances. Protect your business, because it is, that's not, it's not fun.
Get an LLC. That's exactly what an LLC is for. So something like that. Hopefully it don't happen, but you know, that'll protect you. They'll be able to sue the business. They won't be able to sue you.
Definitely.
It's a lot that goes into it. See, y'all think we just go over there and then we just lay down and come back up and our lashes are done.
trust me. It's you know, we have to make sure our tools are sanitized. You know, you can give people green worms. You know, cut somebody if you. Yeah, man. So I definitely get that side of it for sure.
You really never can take anybody's position for granted. There's always ins and outs to every job, whether it be corporate, whether it be entrepreneur. There's always ins and outs that you just don't know about. Even like even something as simple as a janitor. You think, oh, you just clean shit. I bet you they got to do some protocols and procedures that you wouldn't even think
for about. Sure, they working with a lot of chemicals, you know, with cleaning those floors. So making sure they put new signs now.
Yeah, for sure. Any lady that's interested in getting your lash extension license, please go the route of getting a TDLR,
go to school.
Cosmetology license.
Go to school.
Pay for it. It's an investment on you. Yep. I pay straight cash out of pocket for mine. And I promise you, I got the return in a year. So if you invest in yourself, don't go the cheap route. And that's another thing about our generation. They want that quick money right then, right there. So they're going to go get a certification, say, I'm certified to do lashes, and then start taking clients.
Yep.
It won't work like that. You don't know. And they might teach you. They might teach you. But it's just a different pride that you have whenever you say that I am a certified in the state of Texas
I had the same thing, man. I was a born barber, but and a lot of people was like, man, you could go do apprenticeship and you could go cutting a shop now. I was just kind of like, yeah, I could, but I want to go to barber school. I wanted to go to barber school so that I can learn everything I could possibly learn about the trade. And then also, I knew I wanted to come here to Texas. So if I would have did apprenticeship, I couldn't move. I would have had to stay in the state of Louisiana. So I was like, man, I want to do the barber school route. And when I went to barber school, I thought I could cut before going to barber school.
Right.
I got humble. Going in there to sign up for barber school. It wasn't even the first day. And I'm walking because I have to walk through where they're cutting at to get to the office.
Yeah,
I can't really cut. I'm like, I can't really cut.
Seeing the way they were fading was like,
I can't really cut, bro. And I'm happy. It was $17,500. But like she said, that's the best investment I've made in my life. Like, for sure. That's the best investment I've made in my life.
That's it. That's a lesson to anybody that's, you know, aspiring to be anything. No shortcut.
Nope.
Work hard, because not only are your patrons going to appreciate it, because one, you're going to know all the information you need to do to keep them safe, provide them the best service. But like you said, G, you're going to feel that sense of self-worth, that self-accomplishment, that like, hey, I dotted all my I's, I crossed the T's. I'm legit. I know what I'm talking about.
Us barber school and cosmetology graduates, we walk with a different look. You know what I'm saying?
Not for real.
You know?
Credentials mean things, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Not for real. For real.
And then I think also, man, that's just showing like, and man, barber school, you all right, what I had to do going through barber school, the sacrifices I made. I'm pretty sure she made sacrifices as well. Man, like, yeah, man, it's a lot of people that didn't make it. Like, a lot of dudes I was cool with didn't make it. And I did a whole year and a half. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, if you look at it, anything that you specialize in, like with you guys in your professions, as lucrative as they can be, if it was something that everybody would do. I mean,
yeah. Yep.
Sure. Especially, you know, and of course, now that y'all got your own stuff, you know, you charge, you're supposed to charge. So even to just save, it was something they could do. They ain't doing right. Sales. But yep. Hey, you got to come to the people who specialize.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
No doubt.
And anybody, and to piggyback off of that, anybody can do it. Now, you may not be the best as the girl to the left and the girl to the right, but I've learned that takes time and practice. And that takes consistency and continuing to believe in your brand. I used to get in my feelings a little bit because I used to only have, like, I'll post my work. I used to only have, like, one or two likes. Right. And I'd just be like, dang, my stuff ain't good. Knowing people see you, right? They right. see what you're doing. They may not like it at the time.
Right.
But they see you. You know,
like the story views are always going to be more than the likes.
Right. So it was crazy because I'm still getting bookings. I'm just not getting the likes. So in my mind, mentally, I'm comparing the likes to my success.
Oh, yeah. That's the social media area.
Right. And I had to step back and I had to say, look, I'm still getting paid here.
Right.
So, right, like I'm still getting paid here. So clearly I'm doing something that somebody likes. And even if I'm rotating out 5 clients every week, every 2 weeks, that's okay. Because I know that they're being supportive to my brand and they're representing me and have that support in me. Right. And then that friend is going to tell another friend and that friend is going to tell another friend. Now I done got from, I went from 5 to 15. Yep. So, you know, I have to stop looking at like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to be, you know, this type of person because I don't have the likes. It's not the way.
Now, what I've learned with marketing for now, us, Rich Dreams, for Stack and Save, and you know, from corporate marketing and everything, genuine connections mean the most. Yeah. So those 5 likes, if they're genuine and people that actually support your brand, that's going to mean more than honestly 15,000 likes if it's just people that liked whatever you posted and don't really care about what you're doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
It'll get you some glances, but they're not going to actually have that buy-in because they're not, you know, they're not behind you.
Yeah. I used to tell, hey, yeah, man, I used to, you know, I didn't, I was the same way for a while as far as with my, you know, with my barber page. And I was like, man, at a point, I was like, man, I don't even really need to post. The app was doing so well. Well, for me, you know, I'm just like, man. I'm not even a social media guy from jump, so I was like, man, I have been doing more of it. I think I've come to the conclusion, like, you know, I want to take this as far as it can go on every level. You know, of course, I'm not, but I am doing well as far as, you know, just my day to day and, you know, making money and stuff. You know, I will. Stuff like that, you know. So,
right. Dude, is it just? Gee, I think we lost a little bit of your audio.
And I'm sorry.
Mic check.
Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me?
It's still going in and out just a little bit.
Why'd you get yourself together? with You know, social media, like you say, it can paint this picture that things aren't as they seem, of course, in real life.
Right.
Some other avenues that you've taken to market yourself besides social media to help grow your brand?
I've been in a few pop-ups throughout Dallas. I have also been a part of the Dallas Women's Expo convention that's held out in Las Colinas in Irving. Back in 2019, just marketing my brand, I actually did some lashes on the spot. Most of my pop-ups, I will come out there with my tweezers and my work, with my lashes and my tweezers, and I'll do a quick set of clusters or something just for the night if somebody's going out, you know.
Yeah, can be right.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
Okay, bet. Man, hold on. My dog was in here humping his bear, and he unplugged.
Like father, like son.
Man, this dude right here tripped, man.
Oh, man. So, okay. Definitely, we've experienced Jazz going out to the pop-ups is a great way as far as networking, growing clientele. And just really giving people that physical representation of what your business represents. So I'm going to say kudos to you for doing that, because I know it can be sometimes a little scary when you're jumping out in front of people like that. But
yeah,
and I'd encourage you to keep on doing it.
What's your favorite part about doing? You say you've done pop-ups, right?
Y'all, my son, I know y'all been hearing him scream through this whole show.
He's on his camera time. He said, stop playing. Put the star on the show.
Y'all can see him right there behind
What's
me.
What's up, man?
He about to knock over this whole, my whole little get up over here. But can you repeat the question one more time?
No, you've done pop-ups before, right?
Right.
What's your favorite part about them? What's your favorite?
The networking, the community of women. Hold on, y'all. Sorry.
Yeah, you tried to be nice. You really are a mom now. You did the fake smile while you was probably pinching my boy.
But I think that my favorite part about the pop-ups is the networking. Most of the pop-ups that I go to are Black-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. So being able to see different businesses in the area, it was this one lady, Black-owned business for sex toys. Never knew that was a thing, like as far as like, because you usually just see them in the stores and stuff like that. So I mean, she had a whole different category. But it wasn't like sex toys like that. It was more like for sensual erotica stuff. So I mean, just stuff like that. Like you don't know this in the community that you can be able to network with, you know, and you never know who is. Some lady just texted me today from a pop-up asking for me to do her wedding. So I think that, you know, it's very important to be able to get out in your community and to see and fellowship with people, right, especially on business.
Right.
Because you never know what two businesses can be able to link up and create something great.
No doubt. That's probably my, you know, going into our first one, first of all, they were selling sex toys at the first one we ever went to as well. You remember they had the roses there, right? You
remember not the rose.
Not the rose there, man. They had the rose there.
Shoot, I don't know why we surprised. Shoot, hey, black people sexual out here.
Yeah. Hey, so my thing is like I love to. You know, I was like, man, listen, if we make some money, cool. But I want to get we getting business cards. We, you know, we networking. We doing all of that. You know, like I said, I'm like you in that sense. Like I want to, you know, if we, you know, we met a videographer guy that we may use future. You know, it's a lot of things. We met so our brand is actually in the Redbird out here at our market. Yeah, go check us out. We actually the store that we're in, it was a guy that we met at a pop-up. So, you know, it's when you moving around and doing stuff, doing pop-ups, man. I think it's the main thing you should find relationships with different people. You know, they may give you some, you may need that person, whatever it is. So that's my favorite part too, networking side.
Making those connections. Yeah. It's
hell yeah.
I don't know if in my experience, just in business period, that there's a more important thing than making connections.
Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, whether that's on a client level basis, a business partner basis, finding, like you said, a common interest that kind of relates to what you do.
Right.
Always the best way to grow.
No doubt.
I wanted to go over some of your quotes from the article, man.
Okay, go ahead.
And they was real powerful. I was like, man, look at old Jazz talking out here.
You know.
So one is, you were just basically encouraging everybody to be themselves. It says, for ladies who are making their marks in life, do you. As cliche as it may sound, it's honestly the purest way to build. Everyone wants to be like everyone else. People will see your genuine lifestyle and associate themselves with you because of that. Love yourself first so you can love what you do. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, but what would you give a message to somebody that's kind of wanting to be in your field and not knowing how to start? How would you encourage them?
I would just say to get out there, like how we started off the show. You never know until you do it.
Yeah.
And you don't know if it's going to be a success or not. But the only way to fail is to not try. I truly feel like without effort or without hard work, my uncle, he taught me this quote. It is, people construct their own glass ceilings.
Wow. I like Unc, man. I need to meet Unc, man. God
damn. Hey,
no, for real. I'm true.
Unc sounds like a wise man.
He's very wise. People construct their own glass ceilings, and it took me forever to understand and break that down and analyze what he was really trying to tell me. And there's so many barriers that we put upon ourselves. We can see the vision because it's a glass ceiling. We know it's there, but however, it's still a barrier to keep us from reaching to where we are, whether that's excuses, whether that's inconsistency, whether that's not being able to let go of your self-pride and your stubbornness to try to get out there and to network with people. I mean, the harshest answer you can get is a no.
Yeah.
And we get that all the time. I mean, you know, so it's like, at the end of the day, why not try? Why not bet on yourself? Mm-hmm. Why not see how far you can go? So for any ladies that are out there that are interested in the industry or interested in being an entrepreneur themselves, try. Just get out there. Just do it, because you know your self-worth and you are your biggest competition.
Yep. Come on, Cluster Queen.
That's it. Hey, man. She talking that talk, man.
Big public speaker out here.
Yeah. Look out for the motivational tours.
It's no competition, man. It's you versus
it's
you.
It's always you versus you. And the moment that you start comparing yourself to other people and their businesses, you devalue your own self-worth.
You're slacking at that point. Yep.
Yeah.
She said in the quote, she said it in all caps, do you.
Do you.
Nobody do you like you do you.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm pretty sure all of the inventions that are out now, somebody thought that they were crazy as hell.
right,
to come out with something like that. And they bet on themselves. I just looked at something. Y'all know the song by Luther Vandross, his first song. Ooh,
she went back, Luther.
Stop. what's the song? Don't make me sing on here, man. I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. That was his first single, right?
Really?
Okay.
The music video that we see today, he put his own money into that music video. He sent that record out to every record company and got denied.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Right. And that's Luther. So my thing is that even the greats got told no, but they kept going.
Yep.
So as long as you continue to persevere and you continue to strive, man, that glass ceiling will be broken for sure.
Yeah, that's powerful.
No doubt. I like how she went to the Luther story.
All right.
I know Unk put on that one though. Unk told about
Thank
that.
You.
Hey, actually, listen. that was Facebook.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Facebook was giving a little quick fact. But you need those motivational push to keep going. Like, you're gonna get told no, and that's okay. They know it's somebody else's yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it's about, man. Keep going. You know, just like anything, you know, any business, you know, like Rod said earlier, you know, maybe at Walmart, this didn't sell, that didn't sell. That ain't gonna stop them. Yeah, they taking a loss, but you gonna know it's a long way. All it takes is one yes, though. It's one yes. Well, it can change your life. Yep.
Everything that you do in business basically is a risk, especially when you're financing and footing the bill yourself. So if you're going to go in full fledged.
Nah, don't go ahead.
Yeah. Cause people also can sense that. They can tell when you really put your all into something and you are genuinely giving yourself to them. Mm-hmm. Cause at the end of the day, I learned this in sales, people buy people. It's not even really so much about what you're giving them. It's about, hey, okay, who is this person? What did, like, what's this person that's coming up to me, why do I care about what they're trying to get me to buy from them?
Right.
As long as you're putting yourself out there genuinely, you'll always kind of reap what you sow in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Jazz, this is what's up right here. I had another one, but you kind of already covered that.
I might can do a little remix.
Okay. Well, you get up with this one. You're saying networking happens when open minds meet common interests. If you're trying to find a mentor or need networking opportunities, just speak up. Like you said earlier, don't be afraid to reach out. The worst they can say is no.
Mm-hmm.
With people that you've had success with, like maybe reaching out and getting them to kind of mentor you or give you some advice, what are some of the ways that you went about it? Did you just DM them, or how did you
connections? Some of them was DMs. Some of them was booking a lash appointment and getting my lashes done by them, talking, having a conversation, because I still need my lashes done. But now that I and shout out to Miss Tina, one of the realest lash techs that I've met on this side. She's in DeSoto, and in Lancaster on the other side on 35. But she didn't gatekeep with me at all. A lot of times I got my lashes done and, you know, I just wanted to have conversation, wanted to network, and they were very short. I end up just stopped getting my lashes done for a long period of time. Because there was nobody that I felt like I had that bond with. And it takes the right person. She stopped after we were done with our lash appointment. She has you know, pulled her lash trays out. She started showing me her techniques, you know, certain things that she was doing. And just to sit back and that was just free game because somebody gave her free game. You know, and now whenever someone comes to me and they're interested, I'm going to give them free game. You know, I don't think that if it was for, if I had a pride about it, like, oh, I'm the coldest lash tech in Dallas, that I would ever reach the altitude that I would have
never,
now.
Never.
So it takes the sense of stepping out of your comfort zone, having your business cards with you. Or having something, your mobile business cards or something
being
like
prepared.
That, being prepared to be able to have those conversations. Because once you throw it out there, once you say it, you're needing to be interchangeable at that point. So just making myself humble at all times, knowing I'm never greater than.
Ooh, okay.
You know,
what's that quote you be sure, G, even when seeing success? Remain
even when progress, stay able to keep. That's basically what that means, you know. I said, especially when you're entrepreneur, bro, none of this shit is given, bro. We get off the muscle each day. We don't go clock, even if we go and take a number two and getting paid for it. Nah, we ain't doing none of that. When we not working, we not getting paid. You know, performing a service, we not getting paid. So, you know, I try to keep my times. I try to get on a high horse and, you know, get out of the humble spirit because, it can all be taken, man. Because we it's the, you know, like I said, I feel this is faith based business. So if I'm on I know my clients gonna come through and they gonna do this and that. Right. For me, I done got in the mindset where I'm tough. I'm cold with it like that. Like, now I need to stay humble so that I can continue to get better for one. Because I'm pretty sure she know. You know, we have to stay like, okay, how can I get better? How can I sharpen this up, sharpen that up? That's how we stay. That's how we keep getting new clients, keep our old clients. You might do a great job on that woman lashes two or three times. But if you slack off and think you're shit three times, you fucking up, she probably gone. It's the same game on the board again. You know what I'm saying? So we have to stay on top of our game. And then another thing with the giving the free game, like I said earlier, man, I feel like we're obligated to do that. Why would somebody just because maybe somebody did that to you, you think this is the way to do it? I'm gonna make them find I did. No, man. It seems like we the only people that do that. Do it seem like that to y'all? We the only people that feel like, oh, nah, man, you got to go get it on your own, player. Like, why are we like that?
That's probably why a lot of us are so lost because, man, Charlamagne, I be listening to their podcast, and he talks so much about just how he finds so much power in empowering others.
Exactly.
Like, he feel like that's really what his purpose was to be able to big up and give everybody opportunities around him.
Exactly.
And really, you don't really feel that fulfillment until you fulfilling that purpose of helping others.
Right.
That's the number one thing that's gonna excel you more than anything else.
Yeah.
Because when you say you got a business and everything, like, that's what people kind of want to know. Or when you say you're successful, okay, so who have you helped?
Right. Or let us know how you got there. Instead of just showing all this money and jewelry and shit, who cares about that? You know, I'm like real talk. Like, like at the end of the day, like, what real grown man? I understand a little young kid may look at it like, ooh, I want that. But the real grown man out here, real mature man, really trying to get somewhere and don't care about all that shit. They want to know how you got there, bro. That's the game. That's the motivation. To me, that's the motivation. That should be the the motivation or whatever you want to say. Like that, showing the money and all that, show me, give me some how you got that, brother. I'm trying to get that.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it stems from like a, I don't want to say generational because it's been happening for generations, but like a community setback. I mean, even, you know, once a person turns 18, what mama do?
Keep them up.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. But you go into other communities and what are they doing?
20, you know what I'm saying? Until you get married. You good here till you get married.
Giving them a year off. Go explore. Go travel.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what put us in disadvantages. That's why our credit is not okay. That's why, because we're not taught financial literacy at home. That's why, because they weren't taught financial literacy. Mm-hmm. I had worked with Nationwide a little bit for under their life insurance sector. And I have seen how trust fund babies are started. I mean, just with these life insurance policies, and how people are getting IUL policies and investing into those vehicles and flipping that money and being able to withdraw off of those returns. I mean, just simple things like that, that we are as a community maybe so behind on.
Yeah.
I just asked some of my friends the other day, y'all got life insurance? Girl, I ain't finna die. But you will.
We ain't learned nothing else from 2020 on. Nobody got no guarantee. Like,
you know, just it being an investment vehicle, though, just like a 401k, just like a Roth IRA, just like a pension or any other financial vehicle that you might invest in. We got to do better. If you see some, say some. You know, we got to be able to affect our communities just by reaching out to the person and being just like, hey, let me tell you something here. You know, let me show you something instead of embarrassing the person. You look like a damn fool, you know, flashing all this money. Okay, you got $6,000 in your pocket. Let's go and max out your Roth IRA account.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, let's go and see how we can be able to invest in this so you can be able to see the return. $6,000 ain't your cap. You can get $60,000. Let me show you how to do that. You know,
right.
I mean, we just have to be better at reaching out and being kind to one another and not trying to be the one up, not trying to be the biggest, blackest person in the room. That's where it's a mindset thing. And once we break down those things, then man, we gonna take back this country. Yeah. We gonna take it.
Yeah, we do. You know,
the country we built. Yes. We gonna take it back.
Yeah, like you say, we gotta get out of shame and withholding information. Yeah. What's for me is for me. This is how I give a damn what anybody else doing.
Yeah,
it could be a barber that's charging $200 for a haircut. That don't make me feel a way. I don't charge $200. That don't make me feel a way. My lane is my lane. Now, if anything, it'll motivate me. Like, whoa, like we can get that type of money in here. Okay, bet.
Right.
It ain't on no man. With, you know, some people, man, he don't even cut that good. It don't matter if he trash. Yeah. It's somebody paying that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I said, we got to get out of our head. Like if we give this person this type of game or a certain type of game, they gonna blow past us or anything like that. It ain't even about that, bro. If you on your stuff like you're supposed to be, you wouldn't even worry about what anybody else got going. And you will easily give game to somebody that's trying to come up. Why? Like I say, it's the biggest compliment to me. If I give you and you end up doing it bigger than me, to me, that's the biggest compliment. Man, I remember when that dude was.
People hate on that, though. Like, people, I don't understand. Now they gotta,
I don't understand.
That's crazy. People hate on that. And I don't get it either. But, I mean,
It's really a slave mentality. It's a
no doubt. It definitely go back to only so many in the field, nigga. Yeah.
So we got to do whatever we do to make sure that we in the house with them and bump everybody else. They stay outside.
Yeah.
We really need to change that as a culture, and I feel like it's nice to see that we are working on that. You know, I feel like it's been basically us, the millennials. That's what we are, right? We the millennials.
Yes.
I feel like we've been the generation of like.
Well, I am. I don't know about look.
What year did the millennials in?
You might be Gen X, man. You
I know ain't no Gen X. Millennials ended 95, 96, 95.
When did it start? Do you know?
And 80. Hold on, don't come.
Oh yeah, we good. Yeah, we go.
I think you crept in there, man.
I spent 2.5 weeks in the '80s.
It wasn't even
nah, man, not like they were saying.
I'm really a 90s kid, y'all stop.
I really am, bro. My birthday December 10th, so
okay,
yeah, 89.
Okay. I feel like that can't.
But no, I literally spent like 2.5 weeks, right. 2.5, 3 weeks.
We ain't really that generation. I feel like that's making that change of. And taking on that responsibility of breaking these generational curses and trying to be better mentors and, like you said, teach that financial literacy.
Right.
We really are the ones who are really trying to take on that responsibility.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good thing, man, to see how it flourishes in the future. Right.
You know what? Go ahead.
I was saying with every generation, I mean, just imagine now our kids. Mm-hmm. And what they will be able to do and obtain,
right?
Versus our grandparents and where they were in their mindsets. Nah. So, I mean, we're and to be real with you, we're not that far removed from slave days.
Days where it was Jim Crow. That was just in the 50s, 60s, right? Jim Crow.
Right.
It was
20 years before you was born.
As babies,
she played on me on how old I am right there, man. I was agreeing with it. We were rolling, and then she hit me with that, man.
She slipped one in on your uncle.
She slid in on me.
Ain't nothing worse than my younger sister. She asked me, like, she'd be so surprised, like, you were born in the 1900s? I'm like, bro, don't play me like that, bro.
It's really facts, though. It hurts. Like, it hurts, but it's facts. It's really
she'd be like, you was born in the late 1900s? And the fact that she say it like that, I'll be wanting to mollywop her. Like, stop playing.
Right. Oh, man. Look, just imagine having to tell them, like, and I don't look my age at all. So imagine me telling somebody, like, y'all born in 89, bro. They like 89.
You mean
98? Look, no, 89. But now, man, I was finna say what you just said. Like, I think a lot of these younger kids, it's so much information out now. I think it's more so like people closer to our age that's still kind of behind the eight ball. But these younger kids, bro, with the information they got out there, as much as they had these damn phones, like they're on it. A lot of these younger kids, they're on it. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I was about to say it's a lot of them teenagers. I already got their businesses started and everything.
They have the information. It's about them to, you know, come up with a plan and execute it or however they want to do it. But they have the information.
Yeah. And it's in a more empowering age than ever for young people. I mean, whereas we was, you know, more brought up as that you a kid, you stay in a child's place here. They brought up with like, hey, your opinions, your thoughts matter. Like,
we need to go back to as far as when they're young and they're a kid, we need to go back to, you stay in a child's place, nigga. If we talk about that, I wouldn't talk about that. No, but what I'm saying is you can still be you can be intelligent and stay in a child's place. Hell yeah.
But how you gonna be you can't creatively develop something if you don't have that freedom to be outspoken. Like, if you're creating something or you're doing something that's never been done before, you have to have that ability to just...
Man, the Bible, now y'all are good Christians, I know this. It's saying the Bible, you disobey your parents, you shorten your days when you disobey your parents.
You sound like Augustine, William.
See, this was really progressive, and it got toxic real fast.
Full garage, better child.
Is that not the truth, though?
I got different viewpoints on that Bible. I always say somebody wrote that.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. That's all.
I got you. There is a difference between being clear and direct,
right,
as a person, and being expressive. You know, the integrity. You know what I'm saying? Having integrity about yourself is different than a child stepping out of lines and being an adult.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I hope to inspire my son, you know, to be able to always speak up and say do the right things. You know what I'm saying? If you see something that's not right or somebody doing you wrong or have done you wrong, don't allow that pain to sit there and you grow up with that trauma. Mm. You know, learn how to work through your traumas. And I feel like that's with our community as well. We hold so much of that in.
Yeah.
And we had that those family secrets that we were the keepers for. And it traumatized us mentally to be able to have those burdens. And now we don't know how to verbally communicate. So now we have communication issues in relationships, business ventures, things like that, because we're triggered by certain things that happen within our personal lives that our parents never addressed, or they never told us it was okay to address.
Yeah.
You know, so I do agree with you both. Be expressive, but at the same time, know when to express and know who to express to, because sometimes people don't have your best interest in mind. They'll go and take your business and tell your business, you know. Mm-hmm. So being able to have that person that you can have as a confidant at a young age will help you as well, being able to develop healthy relationships. And that goes into your business as well, business relationships, knowing how to be able to point out those vultures, people who just want to, you know, take your business and run with it, or elevate you.
No, for sure. On some serious stuff, though, for sure, learn how to communicate, you know, especially growing up as young men, you know, we fall on the ground, we heard our shit, boy, shut up all that crying, boy, you a man, you a boy, you know what I'm saying? And boys don't do all that crying. Mm-hmm. You know,
somebody does something to you, quick to be physical and hit them.
Exactly, and that come from. Honestly, I believe that come from. It's many ways you can discipline a child. You don't have to always just whoop their ass. You know, you can talk to them, get their side of it. You know, like I had my nephew out here. Last summer, I think, you know, last Christmas, and we were doing like a balloon release for my mom. It was her birthday, and he just started crying. And I was like, man, he was real young when she died. So I'm like, man, what's up with him? Like, my niece, she's like 12, so she grew up around her a lot. And he was crying. I'm like, and my girl was ready to go hug him and do all that. I'm like, wait a minute. Don't do all that. Don't baby him like that. Let me talk. Let me holler at him and see what's wrong with him. Talk, you know, get him to talk more, you know, let him talk more. Even if they crying, even if you think they crying about some old bitch ass shit, you know what I'm saying? How we come up but still, like, let them also seriously, like, let them talk. Yeah. Like, hey, what's wrong? What's the problem? Why are you crying, bro?
Right.
You know, just let them talk. That's how I feel like that's how they develop communication skills. Versus us, shit, we get mad at something, we ready to fight.
Right.
Over some words.
Because we don't even feel like there's a safe enough space to where somebody gonna listen if we try to talk about it.
Yeah, nigga might, yeah. So, Yeah, let them talk about it, man. Let them, you know, with the young kids, like, let them express themselves. They crying, they mad, whatever. Make them talk about it.
Right.
Yeah, make them talk.
Nah, that's man. I feel like we're yeah. right now. We really. Yeah.
But again, that goes into that they'll grow up with better communication skills, which yeah. That goes far in being life. An entrepreneur because yeah, life in general. But back to the topic at hand, that goes far in being an entrepreneur. Once you learn how to communicate, you're not scared. You're not scared to go talk to somebody that you know you should talk to get a connection. You know, right. You're not nervous. You're not standoffish. You're not any of that. You know, you ready to go talk to whoever. You know,
confidence builder within yourself. And when you have that confidence, you can exude that to everyone around you. I mean, people can see it. People can feel your energy when you feel assured of yourself and what you're talking about or what you're asking them about.
Yep.
Nelson Mandela's quote. He said, and as we are liberated by our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give people permission to do the same. And as we are liberated by our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others. So I truly believe that if we stop, you know, dimming our light and allow ourselves to unconsciously let it shine, that it'll be infectious. You know, darkness always has to meet light at some point. Darkness can't hide forever. So, you know, the moment that you are being able to be a light to someone else and show them how fearless you can be, then you can be able to change the world because it's going to affect one person. It's just like a germ. You touch this, it spreads, that spreads. It's something that can't stop. So, you know, tying it back into the business, you know, if you gatekeeping, you're not going to make it far because ain't nobody is going to invest in you because you're not giving your light out. You're not sharing that light with other people. So the moment that you are able to be open, be expressive, be there to help, that's what we're here for. That's why this world keeps going because somebody is reaching out to someone and saying, let me show you the way. Because that's how this world has to keep going. Somebody has to learn what you've learned in order for you to make it go. So
someone sees
We live in this era where everybody want to claim so self-made, but everybody has someone or a network really of people that have poured in and made you to where you've gotten to today. Nobody has done anything by themselves. Because at the end of the day, we all work together. We all need people to flourish. Like, you're not out there selling product to yourselves, whether it's just your customers that you connect with or whatever. You use people. We need people.
Yep.
So those are very important gems right there.
No doubt.
Shoot, Jazz, I'm going to get out of here after give us this one last thing. I know we always want to aspire for more, aspire for being greater. You've already accomplished a lot just being where you are now. But in 5 years, you know, when we have you back after, you know, Rich Dreams is a nationally syndicated podcast, and, you know, we out here doing live show tours and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Get out. And we just lost her. That was okay. What is your vision or what is the next step that you see for Jazz Me Up One Time? Where you gonna be at?
Is she lose her again?
Breaking down right at the end. All right, we about to close.
We was good the whole time.
We was right there. But yeah, man. Y'all wasn't ready for that. Y'all gonna have to stay tuned. And when we have her back, y'all will see where she ended up at.
Yes, sir.
But man, this was great. I really
it's a great show.
Yeah, I really hope anybody should. She was definitely speaking to the young ladies. If y'all are aspiring entrepreneurs or whatever you want to do, you can use those tidbits to whatever you're trying to achieve in life. Anybody that's watching, really. So hope you picked up on that. Like I said, definitely make sure that you're tuning in. Make sure you comment, liking, and let us know how you feel about the show. Let us know if you want to see us with more guests. What are y'all needing from Rich Dreams?
Let us know.
Yes, sir. We're going to be live streaming, of course, this Friday, 7 p.m. Every Friday on the Now Legacy Network's Facebook stream. And then if you don't catch the video, catch the audio. Pandora, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you can get your podcasts. And
Spotify actually shows the video.
Say again?
Spotify actually shows the video.
Really?
Checking this out on Spotify, yeah.
Okay.
So
that's cool. I always watch on Facebook, but I never checked it out on Spotify. That's
It's fine, man.
All right. Well, shoot. Tap in with us. Man, I think this was just a very good episode to let everybody know you can't be afraid, you know? Faith without works is dead. So whatever it is that you got conjuring up and you feel like that is your calling, follow that instinct. Don't be afraid to reach out, people, and learn. And shoot, take that dream and make it a reality. It's the Rich Dream Show. G Smoke Dog. Peace.